Blog Talk Radio.
Had a hard year. Still finding ways to stay positive in spite of it all. Seeing your life as a glass that's half full rather than half empty. Well, spring is the time and the season for you. A season to spring forth good things in your life, regardless of obstacles faced every single day, from a car accident, disability, harassment, intimidation, or just plain old daily struggles. Let's talk about you and the spring season today here on Estro's Radio Show. Welcome, and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. This March 16th, 2013, this is your car accident radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you from Seattle, Washington. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident are up for discussion. Dial 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385 to participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured, just like you, who may be needing springtime seeds planted in their hearts and soul, is waiting to hear your story. But first, our personal injury in the news this week. And these are my views on current events and have no association with the writers of the article. From time to time, I'll be stopping to take a moment to comment on a section. This week's personal injury news comes from thehindu.com, and the title of the article is Running from Pillar to Post to Get Disability Certified. And in my opinion, that title says it all about a lot of experiences people with disabilities, regardless of where they live, seem to run into. It seems like for some reason there's a lot of obstacles placed, in my opinion, in the way of people with disabilities that make their lives a whole lot more difficult, as if to say, we're going to punish you because you're disabled. So, and I just think that's quite unfortunate, but that's just my point of view on it. And the article is by Kamia Cannon. And I'm going to start in on the article now. It says, quote, Tamil Selvi of Dharma Puri has an obvious disability. She does not have one leg. Without an artificial leg, she can only crawl. And yet, she is yet to get a certificate mentioning her disability. See, I have to stop right here. You know, there's something that's really, in my opinion, I don't understand why compassion is not really something that's at the forefront of the hearts of many people. I'm assuming that if it was your loved one or someone that you cared about that was crawling around, could not walk, you would actually get the support and get what was needed to help them to have a better life. And from my perspective, until a person can have empathy, which I think in many times we're missing today, for somebody else's condition, things are going to be problematic, not only for those with disability, but those who are without disabilities, because you're going to have to be able to see things from another perspective other than your own. And selfishness or not being able to find the time to help, or I mean, there could be so many reasons for this, but I personally believe it's time to put human beings above money, above things. There needs to be a personal respect for others. And maybe it starts with yourself. Let me know what you think about that. But I'm going to go into with the article before I really get onto something else. Quote, I was told that my disability has to be certified only by an orthopedician, which I'm assuming is an orthopedic doctor. So I went to a specialist at the Dharmapuri Government Medical College. He just referred me to a particular person who asked me to pay money. Why should I pay money for this? Asked Tamil Sylvie. She refused, as a result of which she claims she is still waiting for a certificate. Others who intercede on her behalf were also abused, she said. I need to stop here for just a moment. I don't know exactly what's going on in Tamil's situation, but in my opinion, too many people use power against those who don't have. It's really a have and have not situation. If you don't have the resources to fight, in my opinion, many times you can be left out without things that you really need to survive, which, you know, I just don't realize people don't understand that someday they're going to need something from somebody. Doesn't matter what your resources are. You know, I mean, you may have a lot of resources, but at some point in your life, you might need somebody to help you. And I really am a believer in karma. What comes around does go around. So you might just want to consider to think about how you're treating people and what you really can do to help someone else. Okay, I'm going to go on before I have a whole lot more to say, but I'll just keep going here. Quote, this certificate is crucial to persons with disabilities who want to access welfare schemes. Right from getting concessions for rail and bus travel to applying for jobs, the certificate is very important, explains Namburajan of Tamil Nadu Association for the rights of all types of different abled and caregivers. He goes on to add that this basic issue has become troublesome for different groups of differently abled people. In fact, there is a government order which has specified that for persons with locomotor disabilities, and that means amputation or complete or permanent paralysis of limbs, any medical practitioner working in hospitals or healthcare centers run by government or local bodies can certify. Only the degree of disability will have to be stated by the certifier. The same GO indicates that only in the case of multiple disability does one need to approach a medical board consisting of three members, of whom one shall be a specialist dealing with the relevant disability. And I need to stop right here for a moment. I'm amazed at least in my opinion, how many times people are just kind of, if you don't have the right kind of medical insurance, or you don't have the knowledge of the type of specialist or doctor that you need, how you can get lost in the healthcare system, or in our case in America, how you can and not get any healthcare at all. You would think, being a first world country, that would not be the case, but there's so many people here in America who are not getting health care, who suffer in shame because they don't have what they need. To me, that is not being representative of a first world country. A first world country, in my opinion, leads by example. And the first way they lead by example is how they treat the least of those in their communities and their country. And from my perspective, that's not been the case in recent decades. Wages have been dropping. People have lost their homes. Now we have over 50 million people who may be hungry every day. And this food insecurity word, it's hunger. People are hungry. Food insecurity? There's no insecurity. It's hunger. It's hunger. The people are hungry. And why is that in the United States of America? Can you tell me? Okay, let me go on before I get into that one. I guess this article is bringing out a lot of things that I have my opinions on that I'm going to go on here before we get where we can't even find where I'm at. Okay. Most recently, applicants with obvious disabilities who have gone to the CEDAPUS government hospital to face problems. The chief medical officer refused to give us certificates, though we showed the government order authorizing medical personnel to issue them. One of them complained. Additionally, the doctor also refused to issue a certificate for one attendant authorized to travel at concessional rates in government buses, claiming ignorance of the clause. I have to stop here. How is it possible that people choose to harm people knowingly? How can you hurt somebody knowingly that the decision you are making right now is going to impact their life significantly, when it's a very easy thing for you to do to help? Why don't you help if you can? You think being mean to someone or being cruel to somebody or making their life much more difficult, especially someone who's disabled, is a good thing to do? I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay, I'm going to go on. In fact, the order also calls for action against those doctors who refuse to do so, Mr. Namburaj says. Despite this, we face problems at most hospitals. Where the doctors do oblige, we find that some of the necessary particulars, the round seal doctor's registered number, are missing, and that invalidates the certificate for a certain task, including getting real concessions. Isn't that amazing? That it's really, in my opinion, I don't know the situations about this, but I know that money is a factor. Most people do not want people who can't pay them. I do understand everybody needs to live, including doctors. And in my opinion, in the United States at least, the insurance companies have too much power over the doctors, controlling what they get rate, when they get paid, slowing down the process of them being paid. This should really be back in the hands of the patients. A lot of problems could be solved if the patient was given control as to where they went, who actually cared for them, whether they wanted those services or not, the choices. Here in America, you don't find out what it costs. You walk into the doctor's office. Unless you ask, they don't tell you. You have surgery or something goes on. They don't tell you what that is in advance. If you want to know what the cost is, you need to ask in advance. And that's something, in my opinion, everyone needs to know. I think there's a lot more accountability needs to take place. I think that the patients, in my opinion, should no longer just put it in the hands of insurance companies or put it in the hands of doctors. I think it's time to wake up and ask serious questions. Ask questions like, why am I being denied my disability? And write your congressperson and say, this is wrong. Change ERISA. Change ERISA. Take away some of the power insurance companies have. It's time to change. It's time for people to realize that it's the people who are hurting that need the help. Not the people who are making record profits, but the people who aren't getting their needs met. Okay, I'm going to go to this last paragraph here. TARDAC has written to the state hospital secretary urging widespread implementation of the GO, and also, which must be a program there, and also to take action against erring medical practitioners. You know, and that's the end of the end quote. And there has to be a balance between helping people and being able to get paid. So, and I don't know in India. I've not been there, so I really can't comment a lot on what's going on there. But from my perspective, it seems like there's a lot of systemic problems in systems that discriminate against those who do not have. That the ones who are elite and they have all the money, they have the resources, they get all of the things that they need to get their life moving. Everyone, if possible, should have that opportunity. If it takes a minute of your time, help them. If you see someone on the street who is sane, excuse me, I have to add that, but you see someone having an issue that you can help with that doesn't put you in danger, let's not go with the danger stuff, okay? Something that is fairly reasonable in public where there's a lot of activity going on, and you can help someone, help them. Help them. That's all it takes for us to really start helping each other. We all have resources or tools or things that we can help each other. Okay. I really enjoyed Occupy Wall Street for that matter, because they brought people together, they were supporting a cause, and they were feeding and helping each other with the skills they had. And I noticed how that has been broken up to some degree because it was working. And in my opinion, the reason why it was broken up is because monopolies have a difficult time sustaining themselves without advantages. But I'm going to go ahead and comment on this article before I really get in on some of my other opinions. We'll have to do those in other shows. But many U.S.-based insurance companies now have offices in India, and I would hope that they would consider bringing respect and dignity to those individuals and their care. Here in the U.S., from my point of view, the frustration and waiting times for help and assistance for those with disabilities cause many to suffer in silence, experiencing indecencies that no individual should have to deal with. When we use our available resources by putting a value on human beings rather than material things, all of our lives actually get better. In my opinion, it is the choices currently made which is to the detriment, actually, of so many people. It is time for change. Let's put people before money, really. There will be enough to go around. In fact, I suspect even those who display levels of greediness will still be satisfied by their hunger at reasonable levels. Many individuals face similar struggles as Tamil Sethi in one way or another, all across this globe. It is time to show compassion to those needs. You yourself will one day require the help of another, I guarantee you. How will you want them to treat you? And that's the question, because it's going to come around, I guarantee you. Let's change this chilly winter behavior to a warm, comforting spring action, creating blossoms of hope and encouragement that spreads from one person to another. I hope you're ready to join in, because we need you to have the compassion and the empathy when you see someone in need. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. Now for my commentary on you and the spring season. The spring season is a time for planting seeds in your heart, mind, or body. These seeds bear fruit in ways which help to support yourself, family, friends, or even strangers, although different than the type of seeds placed into the ground. They are the kind that improve the human condition by how we teach, learn, love, and grow in our world. Spring is a time to re-embrace life. Seeds of integrity, values, and support germinate behaviors that create content of character. I mean, the good kind. Clearing away cobwebs of car accident memories, misfortune, pain, suffering, sadness, and grief. Wiping away or transforming those negative emotions in your life and experiences by making a choice to create a new season, a spring season. Washing away tears, drying eyes, and replacing them with a glimmer of hope. A hope that says, I can move forward regardless of life's issues. Learn from tragedies of past experiences. Apply them to transform life. They can be used to protect and inform, for example. Choose an employer in the future or insurance company that has a track record of paying out long-term disability, and do not seek to eliminate them after the first 2 years or by not paying them at all. Seek those who are known for treating people with respect and dignity when injured, who make a conscious decision not to send people who rely upon them into poverty because of loopholes placed in policy or employee contracts. They refuse to keep disability short-term or long-term benefits for themselves, knowing families will go hungry, homeless, and lose self-respect or esteem. Acknowledging this is the consequences for their actions. So share your hard-earned money with an insurance company or employer that values people who bring them profits, which provides corporations with a very high standard of living. Bad faith practices should not be rewarded with your cash. It's important to learn which insurance companies or employers regularly participate in bad faith behaviors with those who are injured or sick. Typically, these claims are expensive, and in my opinion, some have a preference to keep that money for themselves. This spring season, start by realizing accidents can happen to us all. The process does not have to be full of financial insecurity and worry because benefits you paid premiums on is not available for use when needed. From my perspective, those who make decisions to pay out your claim should not be the same people who have vested interest in the money. Unfortunately, currently, those people do have control in making this decision. So, what do you have control of today? It is what transforms life from winter to spring. Attitude and determination are the planting seeds of hope and encouragement. In my opinion, both can push you forward, moving from winter season to spring. This is the life you control. Insurance companies, employers, or other individuals will follow their own will. There's really nothing you can do about that. You can only send warnings of caution to family, friends, neighbors, or even strangers to stay away from those organizations that you know practice bad faith behaviors, meaning their placing of obstacles to hinder those individuals from receiving disability benefits via barriers or actions that they take to prevent it, or use of their vast resources to retain them. Where the average person does not have enough financial means, knowledge, or physical energy to challenge them. And that's a sad state of affairs, in my opinion. Spring season is coming. Take the reins of your futures. Bring forth joy and peace by moving on with your life. Don't let nothing stop you. It's time to germinate new seeds of hope, courage, self-esteem, and belief in your abilities, whether able or unable, or able or disabled, because everyone has a skill set. Everyone has a different group of things that they have, and that's the focus that you should look on. Do not give up on life. Let me repeat that, especially if you're going through struggles. Do not give up on life. Do not focus in on things that are hindering you. Focus on where you want to go, what you want to do, and how you will get better. You will transform your life. You will bring your spring forth. Choose to find your way. Choose to bring integrity, respect, and dignity to yourself and this world. Scott Prouty stood up and shared what he thought was an important fact for all of us to know in our previous presidential election. Each of us must do this today. There are more than enough topics that we need to shed light upon. And I think Scott Prouty was incredible, because until more of us stand up for things that we see every single day that we know are not right, they're going to continue. A week or two ago, they had a show on, I guess it's a new show that's coming on, where they showed this guy who was being murdered in an elevator. He wasn't actually being murdered in the elevator. It was just them pretending to see how people would react. And a lot of people came in, saw this man being murdered and did nothing. And in my opinion, this is a reprogramming of fear. Every one of us is a part of someone of the rest of this world. If you see something happening that's wrong, don't be overwhelmed by fear. Stand up. It's only when good people start standing and saying, we're not going to put up with all this bad stuff anymore, that it'll stop. There are more people who want to have life that's sane, that's peaceful, that's respectful, than those who don't. And perhaps some of those who are on that other side, if they got their needs met, maybe they wouldn't be on that side. Maybe if there was a more of an equality and justice in our society, some of this would actually go away. And I think that's my opinion on that. But before I get on to another subject, I'm going to go on. It says, let your light shine this season. Give hope to others who may be, unfortunately, in a struggle of experience and knowledge that you can help them to move from their winter to the spring. Yes, we really are in this together, and whether able or disabled, we are the same, wanting a quality of life that brings dignity, respect, and hope for a decent future. As it takes you, yes, you, planting those simple seeds, the seed to make a difference this spring. Do not be held hostage to fear, harassment, intimidation, or unmet needs. In time, seeds planted will bring forth fruit, a fruit that feeds both your soul and those you've touched by making a choice to create a life that stays positive even in the midst of storms. Choosing to live in the moment this spring season will make a difference in your everyday life by allowing concentration and decision-making one step at a time. Plant your seeds today. Bring a fresh new crop of ideas and dreams into your life. It is how we grow, learn, and live and love in our world. This world needs you. Really, it does. When the world is led by only a few, the balance of power, in my opinion, becomes skewed. And unfortunately, those with the least resources can be forgotten. And we should not be. Each of us brings fruit, in other words, value, to the table. Make sure you and your fruit is represented. You hear that? Make sure your fruit and you are represented at this table of our world. There is a place for you, and no one should be pushed aside. Your seed for this spring will not reflect your standing in this world, which attempts to classify many in ways that inhibit their growth and abilities. Your new seed contribution will contain genetics of wisdom, knowledge, experience, and where new opportunities blossom, bringing a vision of creativity. So, today, plant your seed. I'm waiting to see your fruit. And there's something that, have you ever noticed how wonderful ripened fruit tastes? It's just like, oh, that's just perfect. And what happens when you plant your seeds and you stay positive and you go through the struggles and your spring season comes and you feel alive and you feel great and you feel like you are a part of this world, because you are. You really are. So let me know what kind of fruit you plant this season, this spring season, because you really are special. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my opinion and have no association with the writers. And from time to time, as you can tell, I have a lot to say, so I'll be commenting on a section. The first article that we're going to talk about is for the first day of spring, and it's Vernox Equinox, which means equal nights. Half the earth has light, the other half has darkness. You know, maybe that's it's kind of an interesting way of looking at things. half the earth has light and half has darkness. And maybe that's what a balanced earth looks like, at least for spring. Spring begins when the vernal equinox at 7:02 a.m. Eastern Standard Time this year on March 20th, 2013 in the Northern Hemisphere. Ah, spring. The season brings increasing daylight, warming temperatures, and the rebirth of flora and fauna. And you know, that's how, in my opinion, I'm stopping that from the article for just a moment. And that's to me how life is that you have to not stay in winter the whole year. You have to come out. You've got to bloom. You've got to plant those seeds, and you have to become renewed, rebirthed, so to speak, and refreshed, and maybe even a better word for it, so that you see life from different perspectives. You take what you've learned, and you use that in that next level in your life. It says, the word Enoch is derived from the Latin words meaning equal nights. Days and nights are approximately equal everywhere, and the sun rises and sets due east and west. At the Enoxes, the tilt of the earth's relative to the sun is zero, which means that the earth's axis neither points towards nor away from the sun. So I think that's just great. TheAlmanac.com is where we're getting this information from. And I'm just going to be taking tidbits of it and sharing, so make sure to go out and take a look at the full article. It also says, quote, spring is also the time when worms begin to emerge from the earth, ladybugs land on screen doors, green bugs disappear or actually appear, birds chirp, and the flowers begin to bloom. The vernal or spring equinox signals the beginning of nature's renewal in the Northern Hemisphere. And I think that I just have to stop for a moment. Even nature has seasons, right? It has to renew itself. And I think sometimes in our new culture, we don't get that time to renew. We're always running from holiday to holiday, or a job to home, or, you know, crisis to the next crisis. And we never get that point in life where we just exhale, because there's always so much going on. And I think it's easy, especially in times of difficulty, to forget to take time for ourselves. Unfortunately, this world, from the beginning, there's been trouble, and probably till the end there'll be trouble. So you have to pace yourself with whatever comes into your life, so that you can handle it and you can still have a life. You don't want to leave here and say, oh, the only thing I experienced was trouble. You don't want to be that way. You want to say, okay, this is what my table has, and this is what I've got to work with, and I'm going to figure out a way to squeeze some joy out of it in my time in a positive way, because in my opinion, there's a lot of different ways in which our society promotes things that they call quote-unquote fun, that if you will eventually determine if you so take that path, it's not really all that fun. So make sure the fun that you're going to join into is something that not only is it fun for that moment, but it's something that makes and helps the rest of your life be enjoyable. So I think that's just kind of great. So Mother Nature has to renew itself. You have to renew itself, you know. You can start with making sure you start the seeds that you plant indoors. In other words, in my opinion, equating that to what the Amonette's talking about planting seeds outside. But start with planting your seeds in your heart, in your soul, in your body. Protect them when they're really just starting, so that they have time to grow and build, excuse me, and become strong. Then take them a little further out, and then plant them, and then move with them, so that they have the opportunity to become in full bloom at the right season, at the right time in the season. The best spring planting dates for you For your seed is a time when strength and courage is plentiful, when your heart is fertile ground, and peace allows you to plant your dreams, desires, so that they do not give way to the obstacles that lay before them. Water the seeds with determination and discipline. That'll make them grow. As the Almanac Weekly Companion states, seeds grow indoors where they will be protected. Give them time to prepare and mature and grow. Later move them to a place that gives them room to develop, where they can be watched and protected. And that's really what you need to do with your seeds. Remember that you are the captain of your life ship, and you can chart the course. Never give up or give in to the challenges that are before you. Since this week is also St. Patrick's Day, let's take a moment to mention it here. We have an article that's from abcnews.go.com, and it says, St. Patrick's Day 213, How Holiday Lost Its Religion, and it's by Jennifer Abbey. And what does she say here? Quote, it says, when people think of St. Patrick's Day celebrations, they think corned beef and cabbage with green beer to wash it down. The holiday was surprisingly similar when it began with Irish Catholics in the early 17th century, but with a heavier dose of religion. St. Patrick's Day was an Irish celebration that included church in the morning and drinking and dancing, and a great feast in the afternoon. The feast included Irish bacon and cabbage, and one particular ritual was dropping a shamrock in a glass of whiskey and drinking it. I just want to stop for a moment here. The thing that I like about this last paragraph is how it talks about balance in life. You had people who were taking care of their spiritual health, their well-being, and I believe that there's a spiritual or emotional health that we all have. But yet still they were enjoying, they were drinking, they were dancing, it was feasting. So there was balance, there was socialization, there was concern for others, there was a joy that was there. And I think that's great. And I hope that we get back to a balance like that at some point. Because I think when we do, as a whole person, the human condition will improve. But let me go back here. It says, it's a strange combination of celebration and religious holiday. Patrick Griffin, a professor of history at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, said, Irish immigrants brought holiday to the United States as early as 1737. The day was time for them to claim their peace, or their actual place in the United States, which was hostile towards their arrival. I have to stop here for just a quick second. It's amazing how any immigrants are actually discriminated against or disrespected in so many ways, when the only thing that any immigrant wants at any time in history that they've come in is a better life and to do their fair share. I hope that you will never get caught up in the point of believing that immigrants want something for nothing. I don't believe most people want something for anything. I think everyone wants to find their place in life and be productive if given the opportunity. So next time you hear someone talking about immigrants, remember that everyone except the Native Americans are immigrants. And that they're the only ones who rightfully were here. And let's just be thankful that we're all here now and that we can all work together. But the attitudes towards people who are coming from different places, we're really not any better than anyone. We're all the same, no matter where we are, come from, or where we've been, we're all the same. But I'm going to get back into the article. It says, St. Patrick's Day began to change when immigrants became a part of society. The hostility fell away and they became Americans, not immigrants. I have to stop there one quick second. Excuse me. We have this idea that somebody is not one of us so that we can exclude them. We've become a society of exclusionary. They don't have enough money that we have. They're too fat for us. Their hair looks different. Their personality is different. What is this exclusion about? The more people you exclude, the less actually you grow. You become vanilla, you know. And that doesn't help. What does that do? That creates kind of like a one way of thinking, and you lose so much of the rich culture of so many people and different ways of thinking, different ways of looking, different ways of reacting. How can you grow if you're limiting yourself to just excluding 80% of the people in the world because they're not like you? You might want to rethink that if that's where you are. So I'm going to go on. It says, "The Irish have secured their place in America," Griffin said. "They're completely comfortable here in their place. St. Patrick's Day doesn't have the same assertive edge it had in the past." "What's part of the holiday that has dissipated is the religious undertone," says Griffin, "attributed to the waning influence of the Roman Catholic Church." I have to stop here, of course. You know, this week we had a new pope. Pope Francis is now the pope for the Catholic Church. And and I'm not Catholic, by the way, but I was really impressed that he was the one they selected. And I hope that he has an influence not just on people who are of Catholic belief, but of all people, because in my opinion, we are all the same. A lot of the things that we desire are a lot more alike than different. And this mentality of actually just excluding people has really got to change, that we need to be more inclusive as a society and as a world, and more respectful, no matter what someone else's beliefs are, in my opinion. Okay, but let me go on. Quote, "But there are still hints of the religious traditions, such as the annual parade in New York City, the parade that has trappings of Catholic celebration as it travels down the city's Fifth Avenue, passing right by St. Patrick's Cathedral, that holds a public mass." So, religion, in my opinion, are still a major thing. I think that a lot of roots, you can't just dig up roots and think that that's going to be it. They're just like seeds. Those seeds have been planted for generations, and it's going to take a lot of time to undo those seeds. And I hope that that doesn't happen. I think that in many situations, a lot of religions bring good things to life, of making people look at things as how they can help and how they can grow. So I think that we all just need to be able to take a look at the things and the way we treat each other, and use those things to help make a better life for each of us. Okay, I'm going to go back in the article. I'm almost done, though. "This is a nod to back in the day when this was a much more Catholic celebration," Griffin says. "The first St. Patrick's Day parade was in Boston in 1737. The tradition began in New York City in 1762, when Irish soldiers serving in the British Army would march to try to recruit the Irish immigrants living in New York to join them. Today, people of all backgrounds celebrate St. Patrick's Day in the United States. Walking down any major city street this Sunday, you will find Irish sporting their green clothes right next to Hispanics or African Americans, Native Americans, Asian Americans. We are all Americans, and we all, most of us, like St. Patrick's Day. So tomorrow, enjoy and join into the celebrations, and realize that the heritage of the Irish, the heritages of the African Americans, the Asian Americans, Native Americans, White Americans, all Americans, are actually holidays we all can celebrate." Another couple quick items I'd like to add about St. Patrick's Day comes from timeanddate.com, and it says, quote, St. Patrick's Day occurs, of course, I mentioned that, it's tomorrow, March 17th, and is a day to remember one of Ireland's patron saints, St. Patrick. It's largely celebrates Irish-American culture in the United States, and the use of color, green, is predominant. Also talks about the symbols. It says the most common St. Patrick Day symbol is the shamrock. The shamrock is a leaf of the clover plant and a symbol of the Holy Trinity. Other symbols include almost anything colored green, the green, orange, and white flag of the Republic of Ireland, brands of beer associated with Irish culture. Religious symbols include snakes and serpents. Other Irish-related symbols seen on St. Patrick's Day include the harp, which was used in Ireland for centuries as a mythological creature known as the leprechaun, and a pot of gold that the leprechauns hide. So I thought that was kind of making sure we got those in. Just a couple other facts, and it's also from about.com. It says, the only undisputed record of St. Patrick's life are his scarce biographical sketches in the Confessio and the letter of Corticus, a soldier, whoever they were. Both documents were written by Patrick himself and contain fairly unspectacular details. It says, Patrick was born in Britain into a wealthy Christian family with strong church connections. Patrick was abducted by raiders as a young boy or man, taken to Ireland, and kept as a servant or slave to herd sheep. Following divine inspiration, Patrick fled from Ireland, wandering the desert, and finally arrived back in Britain. Rising within the church, Patrick was chosen to convert from Irish and sent back to the islands. His rise and missions were not universally welcome. He hints at dark secret rivals knew about. Through St. Patrick, obviously, did not bring about the apocalypse. He became a cult figure for early Christians in Ireland and was soon proclaimed a saint. Note that this was a simple process of acclimation in the early Middle Ages, not the complicated and long-winded papal process it is today. A saint was somebody who led an exemplary Christian life, but Patrick, at least according to his later biographers, also managed to work in some stunning miracles. It's nice to get a little bit more information on, actually, the history of St. Patrick's Day. Sometimes we celebrate and we don't know necessarily enough about the history of why we're celebrating. There's been so many things going on this week. How can we leave today without making a quick mention of Pope Francis again? The NewYorkTimes.com had an article out. It's called, With Simple Action and Dress, New Pope Shifts Tone of Vatican. And it's by the New York Times Europe, and it's by Rachel Donadio. And she also had help from Elisabetta Provadio and Gaia Pianginani, contributing reporters, and I apologize each time I just torture someone's name, but I promise to get better. Quote, he stopped to pay his hotel bill a day after becoming Pope. He wore simple black shoes and an ordinary wristwatch with a thick black band to his mass as pontiff. He rode in a minivan to dinner with the cardinals who elected him, affectionately telling them, may God forgive you for what you have done. That's great. In an ancient institution where style often translates into substance, Francis, in his first 24 hours as Pope, has dramatically shifted the tone of the papacy. I'm just going to leave it there. It's a great article. I recommend that you go out and read it. I guess I'll do this one last section here, this one actual sentence I like. It says, the choice indicates, above all, a style for the church, simplicity, poverty, and rigor. And I think that's an end quote for that. And I just am so glad that hopefully this cardinal will actually, or this pope, excuse me, will actually restore the things that are the most important in life, and that's people and respect and honor and helping your brother and helping your sister. I think the emphasis on material things and not people today in our society has shifted our minds and into a way that we don't respect human life in the way that we should. And maybe we see that by the number of people who are killed, in particular here in the United States, with guns. So I hope that you'll be paying attention on that, on gun control, and make sure that you really choose in 2014 to decide where to place your vote on such an issue, because, and also get the facts on that situation, because to me, any time our children have been being killed, in my opinion, for decades, and we have a chance in this time to change it, that we all are responsible for making sure that we get that done. Wow. You know, our time today has passed by so quickly. There's always more time or less time and more topics that are comments, topics and comments, knowing me, that I'd like to make that we don't have time for. But one of the things I do want to mention is if you want a chance to be on Estra's radio show with your favorite celebrity, make sure you go out to www.surveymonkey.com/S/NQC9P6K. It's also out on Estra's radio show on Twitter, or Estra's TV on Twitter, or Estra's blog tips too, in case you didn't get the link. And just answer just really six simple questions to tell us who you want to be on the show. It takes less than 3 minutes. And if your celebrity is selected, selected and accepted, you have a chance to be a part of the show too. It's a first come, first serve. So make sure you go out and just take 3 minutes to fill out that quick survey. It's really simple. But we want to know, who would you be interested in finding out about their car accident and how they actually went on to move on and plant good seeds and go forward? That's it for our show today. We've enjoyed you being here with us. Meet us back here next Saturday so we can continue our conversation. Remember to like Estra's blog tips on Facebook while looking at today's links. We want to extend a special thank you to Audacity for the sound, InternetArchives.org, musicians DJ Farf, El Artesians, Paul Marriott, and Shadows, and to the articles which made our time more interesting today. Have a great weekend. Remember, plant those seeds for spring. It's really all up to you. Tune in on Saturdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, for Talking About You with Estra. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of Free Speech has allowed Estra's radio show and Estra's TV to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers. which reflect life experiences. Estra's TV and Estra's radio show is in no way liable for the misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington.